Listen now for God's holy word. Now after John was arrested, John the Baptist, after he was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. How are we supposed to think about Jesus' healing miracles? And how do they relate to us? How do they relate to us here in Blauenberg in 2023? I know that I am not alone in often struggling to answer those kinds of questions. From the start of Jesus' ministry, Jesus is portrayed as healing people's bodies and restoring their minds. In the Gospels, we read stories about Jesus healing a man with a withered hand and a woman who has been bent over for years. He heals a woman with a chronic flow of blood and a man with a troubling skin condition. The demon-possessed are freed of their oppression. The lame are told to get up and walk. The blind receive their sight. The deaf are made to hear. And the mute have their speech restored. All of us wonder, as we read through our Gospels, we wonder as we read these stories, how does God intend for us to understand these? For my whole life, I have wondered and pondered about Jesus' healing miracles. And this week, I picked up and I read a new book that offers a fresh perspective. The author takes into consideration recent research into our understandings of illness, as well as the cultural and religious beliefs of the people whom Jesus was meeting in first century Palestine. I found the perspective of this book to be illuminating. And through that perspective, I believe that God can give us a renewed appreciation for Jesus' healing ministry and how it relates to us. In our modern age, it's tempting to think about disease as something that is just biological. We have these physical bodies, and when we are sick, it seems logical that sickness is a physical issue. But among leading and prominent medical professionals and researchers, those who work in the fields of science and medicine, there is a growing understanding and appreciation for how our health and our experiences with illness are more complicated than just issues of biology. Doctors and researchers acknowledge that our well-being, our health, and our experiences in illness are affected by many factors. To try and articulate this, one researcher tried coining a new term. I don't think it's going to catch on, but he says that our health is biopsychosocial. Our health is biopsychosocial. Our health is biological. It does deal with our physical bodies. Our health is also social. Our health is affected by our environments, our cultures, the settings and surroundings in which we live, and our social political relationships. Our health is also psychological. Our health is affected by our psychology, our minds, our thinking, our beliefs. And as people of faith, we would include that our health is affected by our beliefs about God, our beliefs about our relationship to God, our beliefs about what God thinks about us. Another way to say it is that when we're thinking about health and illness, doctors and researchers are asking us to realize that we need to think holistically. Everything about us and everything around us has an impact on our health, including our beliefs about God. Now, personally, I know from experience that my health can be affected by my beliefs. When I was in middle school, I went through what was and has been the worst health crisis of my life. And my spirituality, my beliefs about God, played a role in my healing. For several weeks in eighth grade, I was very unwell. I was so sick that I could not function in school, and I spent many days at home in bed. I had racing thoughts and I couldn't think straight. My body was weak and I couldn't use it. My arms and legs were tired. I had terrible pains in my stomach and the corresponding gastrointestinal issues that go along with that. For weeks, I wasn't going to school, and when my parents forced me to go to school, I would get sick there and have to come home. During this time, my parents did what loving middle-class parents with health insurance and a Christian background would do to try and help me overcome this biological, physical trouble that I was experiencing. First, we made appointments with medical doctors, and we looked for a biological explanation for my sickness. I was poked and prodded, swabbed and tested. My body was checked for injuries and pathogens. X-rays were taken and examined. All of it in service to the understanding that illness is often biological. In this case, biology couldn't provide an answer. The doctors couldn't say what was making me so sick, and so my parents moved on to exploring other factors. I don't know who suggested it. Perhaps it was one of those doctors, or a friend, or even the pastor at our church, but I am so grateful that my parents next took me to a counselor, a therapist, where I sat in a chair, in a comfy chair, in a relatively dark room surrounded by potted plants, and I experienced talk therapy. It was through this psychological intervention that my therapist helped to untangle what was causing my physical, biological illness. I was experiencing severe anxiety, which had been caused by a traumatic experience that I had had in school several years before. I was suffering from anxiety. And looking back at it now, I see that my healing from anxiety was bio, psycho, social, and spiritual as well. My healing was holistic. My healing included biological medicines from the doctors, psychological interventions from the therapist, social support from my parents, and my healing had a spiritual component as well. During my recovery, I learned for the first time in my life how to reach out to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I learned how to depend on God to give me that which I needed, peace and strength and encouragement and direction and everything that I would need to put one foot in front of the other on my pathway towards recovery. My upbringing in the church, in a Christian home and through Christian schools, had taught me a lot about God. And really good stuff about God, too. My upbringing had taught me that there is a God out there in the world who loves me. My upbringing had taught me that Jesus was always there when I needed him. My upbringing told me to pray, and that God would be listening, and that God would help. My upbringing had taught me that God would send me help in the form of the Holy Spirit, God's presence who would be with me, helping to direct my thoughts, giving me strength, and helping me to overcome troubles. In my quest for healing, I employed those theological truths. While I was sick, and after I had learned that anxiety was the cause of my sickness, and as I tried to get better, I used those theological truths. I prayed at night. I prayed for peace so that I could fall asleep. When I woke up in the morning, I prayed for strength and bravery so that I could get out of bed and venture out into this anxiety-provoking world. At every doorway, at every threshold that I crossed throughout the day, as I felt my anxiety rising, I would turn my mind's eye up towards heaven. And the clouds would part, and I would see Jesus looking down at me with encouragement and support. I am with you. It's going to be okay. I put my faith, my trust, my belief in the loving and supportive God who I had been told about by the pastors and by my parents and by my community. And through that faith, along with the other holistic factors of help and support which I was receiving, through my faith in a loving and supportive God, I experienced healing. I learned to tame my anxiety. My symptoms receded, and I was able to get out of bed and walk a new and renewed journey of life, now with a new component, a living faith in a loving God. How would you categorize that experience of debilitating physical illness leading to healing? How would you categorize it? Would you call it miraculous? Was it a miracle? Personally, looking back this week, and as I've read this new book this week as well about Jesus healing miracles, I have been wondering how my story would have been different if I didn't have that same spiritual perspective in my life. What if I had been taught from an early age that being sick was a sign of God's punishment in my life, or God's distance from me, or God's judgment for my sins? I wonder what would have been different for me if instead of viewing myself as created and loved and cherished and called by God, what if I had been led to believe that God was mostly and usually angry and disappointed with me? This week I have been wondering, what if I had been raised in Jesus' time and in his culture? What if I had been raised in Capernaum or Nazareth? God's people at the time of Jesus' birth and the beginning of his ministry. Research into Jesus' time leads us to understand that the same people to whom Jesus came to heal and restore, they were mostly convinced that God was done with them. They had been conquered and ruled by all of these successive pagan empires. The Assyrians conquered them. The Babylonians conquered them. The Greeks conquered them. The Romans conquered them. And through all of this defeat and destruction and the pain that came along with it, many of their prophets had told them that their suffering and their defeats and despair were the consequences of their sin. In Jesus' time, God's people believed that God had thrown in the towel on them. Because of their sins, because of their past mistakes, because of their faults and failings, God had said, "I'm done, no more. I'm done with these people." And many people believed that God had turned them over and all of the world to the powers of evil. During his temptation in the wilderness, Jesus faced Satan. And Satan offered Jesus all the nations of the world. Satan said, "Worship me and I'll give you. Look, here are all the nations. They belong to me. Worship me and I will give them to you." That offer assumes. It assumed that Satan had possession of all of the nations. And that idea that Satan was in control and possession of all of the nations of the world, that view was the conventional belief held by God's people at Jesus' time. They believed that God had given the world over to Satan. God had given up on the nations. God had given up on God's people. And so when people looked up to heaven, when they raised up their prayers, when they brought offerings to the temple, when they turned to God in their times of greatest need, when they fell on their knees and prayed with tears streaming down their faces, they weren't sure if God still cared. They weren't sure if God was listening. Jesus entered a world full of despair, where people were forsaken. Doctors today and researchers are acknowledging more and more what their studies and experiences show. They are acknowledging that illness is broadly affected by many factors, including what we believe. Doctors realize that deeply battered psychologies and spiritualities, deeply battered psychologies and spiritualities, can lead to real and serious physical illness. Societies and cultures are often plagued by series of illnesses that are derived from cultural, psychological, and spiritual traumas. Sometimes our sicknesses and our illnesses do have simple biological explanations. We understand about germs and pathogens. We know that knees grow weak and sometimes need to be replaced. Thanks to COVID-19, all of us know way more about viruses than we ever wanted to know, about how they spread and where they come from and how they cause illness. I'm not suggesting that all sickness is caused by psychology and spiritual issues. But what doctors and researchers around the world recognize and acknowledge is that illness is often affected by our beliefs, what we think, our psychology. This offers a fascinating new appreciation for Jesus' ministry of healing and restoration. He came into this world with great authority. The Gospels say that people were amazed by his authority. He came with a powerful conviction and a sincere love, believing a new way, offering a new way for people to understand God. Jesus taught a new way to believe about God, a way that broke through people's fears and despair. Jesus taught a new way to believe that led people to believe that God had not, in fact, turned God's back on this world. God didn't hate them, nor did God despise them, nor was God punishing them. In Mark chapter 1, we hear that Jesus proclaimed what? Good news. And he called people to believe that good news. He called people to believe that God's reign, God's kingdom, God's arms, God's love, God's care was extending out to gather them in. In Mark chapter 1, we hear that Jesus taught in the local synagogues and people were amazed. He was teaching something new, something good, which that generation of God's people had never heard before. In John chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 5, the gospel writers give us a taste of that good news teaching. Jesus began his ministry by turning people's thinking completely upside down when it came to their beliefs about God. God's people believed that their sorrows and their poverty, their illness and their oppression were signs that God was punishing them and that God had given up on them. But Jesus came and said to those crowds, "You are loved. You are seen. You are blessed by God." Jesus told them that God had not given up on the world, but that God so loves this world. Jesus came and said, "Blessed are the meek. Blessed in God's eyes are the poor. Blessed are you who mourn. Blessed are you who are oppressed and you who are ridiculed and reviled." Jesus' good news message was then matched by his loving actions. He entered people's lives. As we talked about last week, he did this one by one. He entered people's lives and their homes with his whole self. He embodied God's love, God's care, God's reign, God's embrace for God's people. His message, his presence, his touch, his ministry, grounded and founded in God's love and forgiveness, that message and that ministry literally transformed people's minds and their lives. It gave them a new perspective on God, that God did not despise them as they had long feared, but that God loved them. And my friends, this good news message, this new worldview, convicted people of God's presence with them and God's love. And I believe that that brought about real healing and restoration. The people that Jesus healed were suffering from real illness. They were suffering as really, in real ways, as I suffered back in middle school. They were bent over. Their hands were withered. They were blind and deaf and mute. They were in situations of chronic bleeding, outbreaks of skin conditions, ongoing pain and paralysis. They were experiencing hallucinations, fainting spells, and seizures. And doctors today know that all of those conditions are caused and can be caused, I should say, can be caused by non-biological factors. For many of the people that Jesus healed, it seems likely to believe that their illness had come about because of social, psychological, and spiritual factors. And so many of the healings that Jesus performed, many of the demons that he was able to cast out of people's lives, these miraculous deeds were affected simply by Jesus' message and his conviction that God loved those people. Jesus helped people to realize that they were loved. And like me in eighth grade, God's love brought about new life. Two practical observations for what this means for us. For us, this perspective has real consequences. First, it tells us that being in touch with the good news and being in touch with our loving God, hearing the good news and knowing God is good for our health. We all know what's good for our health. We got to get enough sleep. We got to eat right. We got to exercise. Well, we also have to be awake to God. We have to eat the spiritual nourishment that God offers us. And we need to exercise our faith muscles. All of those things contribute to our health and to our wellness. We need to remember that God loves us, that God is with us, that God cares for us, that we are not despised or forsaken, but we are loved and cherished. We are called. God sees our glory, and God wants our glory in God's kingdom. And this perspective on Jesus' healings, that they came about because of Jesus' message and his actions of love, his message and his actions of love, that perspective offers us a new way to understand our calling to continue Jesus' work. I believe that we are called to heal just as Jesus healed. And my friends, if Jesus healed through a message of God's love and a corresponding conviction and deeds of love which came from that conviction, then we too can help others experience real healing by helping others to hear and to know and to believe that God loves them, that God cares for them, that they are not forsaken or forgotten, but that God sees them, sees their glory, sees their value, sees their worth, and wants them to be a part of God's kingdom. God is a God of love. And the more people who know that God of love, the healthier we all will be. Our health is bio, psycho, social, spiritual. We and others need medicine and doctors. We and others, we need the support of a loving community. We and others, we need therapists and counselors and psychologists. But we and others, we also need to know that God is with us, that God has not forsaken us, that God loves us. And we can help share that good news with others. We can share it in word and in deed. Thanks be to God. Amen.